Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, January 7th. I'm Abby Larico. The 2026 Missouri legislative session begins today. Tax cuts and a smaller budget are two of the main issues that the Republican-led House and Senate will likely tackle. Eliminating the income tax, though, which is a goal of Governor Mike Kehoe's, has drawn some criticism over how the state will make up the lost revenue.
We're talking about nearly a $9 billion hole in the state budget.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on the expectations of the legislative session. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Missouri Attorney General's Office, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer, and the Board of Aldermen have all agreed to stop fighting over who gets to appoint the next sheriff. For now, St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
That agreement was after a St. Louis judge said it was too early to determine who has the power to appoint a new sheriff. It came days after yet another judge said the order to remove Alfred Montgomery wasn't even finalized yet. Rasheen Aldridge is the board's vice public safety chair. He says the process to name a new sheriff should include multiple parties.
From the board, I think we're actually being generous by saying, hey, it shouldn't just be us only, but the board should do this application process, take that to the full board, and send that recommendation to ENA to make sure that it continues to be a local pick.
ENA refers to the city's fiscal oversight board. Montgomery's removal will be finalized January 22nd. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt is defending President Donald Trump's decision to support Nicolas Maduro's vice president to lead Venezuela. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports the Republican lawmaker says the president's move will ensure stability.
Trump launched an invasion of Venezuela on Saturday morning, which resulted in Maduro's capture. Since then, Trump is backing Delcy Rodriguez's ascension as acting president, even though a bipartisan contingent of lawmakers say Maduro's government lacks legitimacy. Schmidt, though, says Trump's decision makes sense and could prevent Venezuela from spiraling into instability.
The chief concern initially here was the continuity of government. You have a VP that's now been sworn in, and they'll have plenty of opportunities, I think, to figure out what the future looks like for Venezuela.
Numerous election observers say Maduro clearly lost the 2024 presidential election, but stayed in power after the state election authority declared him the winner. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Democratic Congressman Wesley Bell of St. Louis, though, says the decision to support Rodriguez showcases the incoherence of Trump's foreign policy.
He's now seen two Trump administrations where he can't get it right in his own country. So what makes anyone think he can get it right in another country?
And Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois says she sees parallels between the recent actions taken in Venezuela and the U.S. invasion of the Middle East. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports on the comments from the senator whose helicopter was shot down in Iraq in 2004.
At a Capitol Hill press conference, Duckworth and Senate Democratic leadership panned President Donald Trump's decision to capture Nicolas Maduro without, they say, an exit strategy. Duckworth says she found the military's performance over the weekend remarkable. However, she says the U.S. government shouldn't be risking American lives, especially if it's just for oil.
We fought a war in Iraq for oil. We sent troops there, myself included, looking for weapons of mass destruction that did not exist. It was a war that was built on bluster and bravado from ignorance and arrogance of those in leadership. And yet here we are again in Venezuela.
The second term Democrat also says she finds Trump's decision to arrest Maduro to be antithetical to the America First campaign promises he made. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Illinois Department of Public Health reports 14 measles cases this past year. That's down dramatically from the previous year, which saw 67 cases. Jennifer Suss specializes in pediatric medicine at the IDPH.
We certainly would have liked it to be zero cases, but measles is here in the United States. And so we're working to make sure that everyone knows that they should get vaccinated because, again, this is a preventable illness.
This comes as the U.S. saw the highest level of cases in over 30 years, according to the CDC. In Missouri, 7 measles cases were confirmed in 2025. Suh says more patients are opting out of vaccinating their children before starting school for non-medical reasons, such as religious rules. A new plan to revitalize 3 North City neighborhoods aims to combat not only the impact of the May 16th tornado, but also decades of disinvestment in the area. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports.
The new neighborhood plan seeks to revitalize the Ville, the Greater Ville, and Kingsway East in an effort to create a stronger north side. The neighborhoods are the latest to get a revitalization plan through the Plan STL Neighborhood Planning Program. Through it, officials hope to stabilize housing in the area, revitalize the economy through economic development, and preserve the area's history and culture. Aaron Williams sits on the Planning Commission and is president of For the Ville, a neighborhood group.
So I think this sets us up for some really transformative work over the next 10 to 20 years.
The project has been in development since 2024 and follows the city's engagement with more than 3,000 area residents. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis event and tourism leaders say a good showing this week during the U.S. Figure Skating Championships could help secure more major athletic competitions. STLPR's Rachel Littman reports.
Last year, the city hosted the NCAA Hockey Championships, and college basketball fans will be here this spring for the first and second rounds of March Madness. St. Louis Sports Commission President Mark Schreiber says the organization has submitted bids for the 2028 Olympic Marathon trials and is also interested in hosting several more NCAA competitions.
We prove ourselves this week. It only helps that case even more. The wonderful thing about St. Louis, we've been able to assemble that great track record of success.
The week-long figure skating competition is expected to generate $20 million of economic impact. It ends with the selection of the team for the Winter Olympics. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Today marks the beginning of the 2026 Missouri legislative session. As St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Kellogg reports, tax cuts and a smaller state budget are major issues this year, though the specifics of both are yet to be known.
Taxes are top of mind for Republicans this year, with Governor Mike Kehoe wanting to eventually eliminate the state income tax. Speaker of the House John Patterson says this is something he supports and that other states have eliminated the income tax.
Right now, I really want to discuss the why we're doing this, and I think once you think about that, you'll see that not only should we do it, I think it's a must because other states that are doing this are growing.
Kehoe is likely to announce his plan during the State of the State address on Tuesday. In the meantime, Senate Majority Floor Leader Tony Lueckemeyer says as he understands it, part of Kehoe's plan is to rely on cuts being triggered by future revenue growth.
Anytime the state's tax collections increase by a certain percentage, we would see a corresponding cut in the income tax. And that's kind of similar, you know, to the approach that's been taken in the past.
While the plan will likely have Republican support, there are concerns as to where the state will make up that revenue. Democratic Senator Maggie Nirenberg says she's interested in seeing Kehoe's tax plan, including what taxes he intends to raise.
When we talk about totally eliminating the income tax, we're talking about nearly a $9 billion hole in the state budget. So that's, you know, essentially 2/3 of all general revenue comes from that income tax. And so that tax burden would have to be shifted elsewhere.
At least one Republican senator has reservations about an income tax elimination. Former Appropriations Chair Lincoln Huff says replacing what would be lost by getting rid of the state income tax would potentially mean a stark increase in other taxes, like the sales tax. And this talk of tax cuts arrives during a year where Missouri lawmakers are likely to pass the tightest budget in years. The legislature has passed record-setting budgets in years past, largely due to an infusion of federal dollars. Now that money has largely been spent, with the remaining likely to stay in reserves. Lueckemeyer says this year's budget is likely to be flatter, meaning lawmakers will have to tighten their belts when it comes to spending.
I think this session you're going to see a lot tighter budget that focuses more on maintaining current services rather than some of the new decision items that we've seen more recently.
House Minority Leader Ashley Onney believes the challenge of this year's budget is twofold, the spending of federal dollars and the reduction of state revenue due to the elimination of the capital gains tax.
Our caucus is prepared
to have to say no to a lot of people this year, and to see some of the programs that we care about deeply not being funded, and that is deeply concerning for us.
An area of spending likely to spur debate is education. Last year, the legislature fully funded the state's K-12 public education formula. Nirenberg is hoping the trend of fully funding public education continues.
I think there is a lot of bipartisan support to continue to make sure that we are funding great public education in the state.
However, Luke DeMeyer says education funding is something that will likely be evaluated this year.
Sometimes just throwing more money at a situation does not always improve results. And I think that we need to be very thoughtful about the way that we, you know, fund our schools.
All of these policies rest on the functionality of the legislature itself, especially the Missouri Senate. Republicans last year repeatedly used a procedural move to cut off debate, a decision that has angered Democrats. Nirenberg says she's still unhappy with how session ended, but is hopeful that the Senate will return to being a more deliberative body.
I think it's going to be imperative on all of us to restore the institution of the Senate to the place that it's supposed to be.
Luke DeMeyer is ultimately optimistic that the Senate will have a productive session.
I expect that the session may get off to a bit of a slower start than normal, but that's okay. I believe that we'll ultimately, you know, work through any differences that we have from last session.
Other key issues could include open enrollment, sentencing laws, and the authorization of video gaming machines. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can read more about the 2026 Missouri legislative session at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.